What did you come here expecting to learn?
Well, I saw a demonstration of, you know, raw cooking many years ago, but I couldn't find a teacher. And when I found out about this place, I just couldn't pass up the opportunity. And it's a lot simpler than I thought it would be. And what I like about it is when I learned first about it, that it's the type of rug that, well, they call it an heirloom rug. And the more you use it, the better it looks, surprisingly. And usually, you know, it doesn't show signs of wear.
Huh. But it's made of, what material is it made of?
Wool. Yeah.
Twisted.
Yeah, we usually, she gets cloth, and she showed us how to dye it. And she had cutters, and we cut it into strips like this. And we learned how to, well, for instance, when we're doing flowers, like she has illustrations up there, she shows us how to use the right colors, you know, to shade it so it looked like a, you know, like flowers have different shades. It depends on mine didn't turn out very well, and I need more practice in that. But let me see something like this, and it shows up the shape of the flower. This.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Thank you. Well, you can tell this is supposed to be morning glory. This is supposed to be a rose, but it doesn't look very much like a rose.
What will that be? Will that be a hanging when you finish it? Or?
Yeah, or you can make a pillow out of it, or a
chair seat.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make a tough material.
I'm going to hang it up. It's a lot. She said it would be simple. I thought it was going to be difficult because when this woman demonstrated, I didn't get a chance to ask her questions. And it looks, I saw her, you know, punching this yarn inside, but I didn't know what she was doing underneath, because when I went home and tried it, everything came out. So that's what one thing I learned around here. I'm telling him what I learned here.
Oh, great.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, fine.
Glad to see you.
Mary Jane McGowan?
Michael Klein.
Hi. These last few hours are the longest.
Getting ready to.
I'll leave as soon as I eat. With the Elder Hospital group.
You have to meet with them yet?
Uh-huh.
Could we talk a little bit as you're getting ready for that? Or,
oh, yes.
Or do you not have time?
Well, I have lots of time.
I have.
Oh, you're from the office.
Yeah. You didn't recognize me because I got glasses.
I didn't recognize you because of your hat.
Oh.
Any questions in particular that you'd like to...
Well, how did the class go?
Oh, it was marvelous. I had 17 students. Each one did a different thing. The youngest one was either 14 or 15. The oldest one was 87. And the congeniality in the room was outstanding.
Fantastic.
And each person did a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
And no one complained about the fact that they didn't have attention when they needed it. Was there anything in particular you needed? Hmm? Was there anything in particular you all needed with me?
No.
Connie
said
goodbye,
and I had her book I was writing on. She'd given me to write on, and she left it back. But
well, could you give it? It'll be a thing that you can do forever, and
and
find that it's worth your time anytime you sit down to do it.
Yeah.
And don't make it a chore by saying you have so many.
Oh no.
Times, so many hours or weeks or months in which to do it. Just do it at your leisure. Because
I have so many things I do. I just do things when I feel like
it's
the right time to do this.
Yes,
you're
when
a Renaissance
right.
person.
Yes. Well, since I moved to Elkins, I haven't worked, so I've been having a great time. If no one makes me go back to work, I'll never go back to work because I just do things that please me. People say, what do you do now? My friends will say, what are you going to do? Are you going to go to work? And I say, no, I have a new job. You know, here, and they said, what do you mean? I said, I'm a leisure person.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Yeah, okay, so my husband makes me go back to work, I'll go to work.
Well, who knows, we might cross. If you're going to become an elder pastor, I'll probably see you somewhere.
Very nice.
Well,
it's been lovely.
I'm glad
it's been
I came.
Well, it's been my pleasure having you.
And I really learned a lot. And I was,
oh, yes.
It's been so long, I've been waiting so long to take a course like this. And I'm glad I came here. You learned a lot more than I thought I would.
You did. Well, that's good.
So
I think everyone
I hope
learned a bunch.
Your little grandchild will turn out all right.
Well, thank you. I hope
I'm glad
so too.
He's home.
Yes, I am
okay.
too.
Okay. All right. Bye
bye. You take care.
All
right. All righty. Bye bye.
Enjoy the buttermilk.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the buttermilk, and you all have a good summer. Okay. Bye bye.
She made reference to your grandson as though you all might have been having life discussions in this class, as well as techniques on how to weave. Was that the case?
Well, we don't weave; we hook.
I mean, hook.
Yes. Yes, there are many opportunities to sit down and discuss things because you have a listening ear, and everyone deserves a listening ear. And you'll sit next to someone, and the first thing you know, you're coming out with little bits and pieces of your life, and you're sharing. Sometimes they're helpful to the person who's listening, but quite frequently they're helpful for the person who's getting it off their chest. And nothing maudlin, nothing tearing things apart. The reason my grandson was discussed was because when I left my home Sunday, he was in the hospital. He was only 6 weeks old. And it was a little hard for me to leave, and they knew I was concerned. So, they were telling me.
You've had some news about him?
Oh, yes. I've called home every night, sure.
How's he doing?
Well, last night he had a temperature again, but I don't know what's wrong. These might be things that he'll outgrow. Let's hope so. He looks healthy, and I'm hopeful. Sometimes kids get a temperature for very little reason.
Cutting teeth, maybe.
Not at 6 weeks.
Not
6 weeks. No, not unless he's extra swift.
I'm sure he's in lots of ways.
Well, at that rate, he'll walk when he's about 2 months old. But this was a nice class, people from all over. One child from France, another one from Quebec.
How did those foreign kids do?
That's what I'm talking about. They did fine. They knew their color sense. They had good color sense. And they were able to come in and apply themselves. As a matter of fact, after I looked around here about Wednesday, I didn't know where I was so necessary other than to teach them more, and I kept teaching different methods of dyeing. And the staff has been absolutely marvelous here. They've helped me by letting me use things, and they didn't look down their nose at what I was doing. They were interested. They came in and looked, and they were very nice to me. I've enjoyed working with the young lady that's in this lab and the gentleman that has the office next to us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a nice week. I'm not tired. I could do this all over again and wouldn't feel worn out. The only thing I've had trouble with is my knee, and I hate to keep complaining about that, but the darn thing hurts.
I know. It hurts.
Yeah, I've had a fractured knee, and it
and all these steps
and it won't heal.
Well, you can take the elevator up.
Well, I'm in a motel.
Okay.
And I don't believe I could have managed had I had any more steps than I've had to get in and out of this building. I don't believe I could have done it.
This is a campus that has problems that way.
Well, it isn't a problem. It's no problem. It's just it's the way it is, and you either deal with it or you don't deal with it, and some of the factors I'm limited right now, not that I want to be. I've enjoyed it, though. I've had a good time.
Could you tell me a little bit about the history of this craft in your own life? Yeah, in your own life.
Oh, in my own life.
Yeah.
Well, 30 years. Well, it's been 33 years ago. I was 34. I'm 67 now. I saw this in the home of an acquaintance with whom I'd been working. She and I worked in a civic organization. And we were to have a meeting at her house, and the weather was so bad I was the only one that showed up. So I noticed this frame in her living room. And I went over and asked her what she was doing. She said she was rug hooking. And I thought it was beautiful. I really did. I liked what she was doing. And I asked her how I could avail myself of the materials that were necessary to rug hook. Well, at that particular time, she was taking things in the line of clothing, and she would get them from outlets or from her own closet, things that her children had outgrown. And 30 years ago, we used wool, 100% wool. That was before the age of synthetics in the woolen industry. And she would just take things, and she told me that some of them she had dyed, some of them she had bleached. But her effect was very good. I liked it. So I asked her if she would consider teaching a class in it. Well, she said, really she didn't feel qualified to teach the class, but maybe the friend of hers that had taught her how, between the two of them, they could teach a class in rug hooking. There wouldn't be very many people interested, according to what she had to say. But as it happened, between her way of life and my way of life and the way of life of the third party, the first thing we knew, we had 50 people, and we had to get in a hall. And we met once a week, and we would all bring our old woolens, whether it be something we had used and washed or remnants of fabrics that we had cut out, and that was what was left over. And we threw them all in the middle of the floor. And we would take shades of different colors and make what we called a swatch, which wasn't anywhere near as detailed as the work that you do when you dye your swatches from a solid color. But we were thrilled and excited with what we were doing. Oh,
a swatch is?
A swatch is several pieces of wool, approximately 3 by 12, that are the same color but in different graded shades from light to dark. And with that, you can make things more realistic. It has a third dimension. And it has the art value. That's what keeps what I'm teaching now different from the primitive hooking that was done years ago. And we had one cutter between the 50 people, so many of us had to cut our wools with scissors, and we didn't object to that either. And in that one term, I managed to finish a rug. It was about, 24 by 30 inches. And I was real excited about that. Well, then through material, I heard where there was a lady up in West Boylston, Massachusetts, by the name of Pearl McGowan, that taught people how to teach rug hooking. She was an author, a lecturer, an artist, a designer. And living in West Virginia, I felt so fortunate that she came here for 1 week a year. Really fortunate. And she would teach teachers. So I would attend those classes. And then in between time, we corresponded. And over the years, I felt as though I had availed myself of all the knowledge that would be necessary to teach. And she told me she thought that someone should teach in our area, and that she would certainly think I was more than qualified. And having had art prior to any of this thought, you know, in my earlier years. And I started off with 6 people in my home, then it came to 21. And then it wound up that I was teaching 4 classes a week, and some classes would have as many as 15 to 19 students in it. Well, I would get very tired with 15 to 19 students because I was running myself ragged 4 times a week, and I'd work 3-hour classes. And I kept that up for about, maybe 4 or 5 years. And then I decided that in order to do myself justice and give each person the individual attention that they need, that I would cut the classes down to 10 or 12. And it did cut down on the amount of effort on my part. But I'm not of the opinion that Augusta is the same as teaching in a classroom in the school system. Primarily because I can bring the materials here one time during the week, remove them one time during the week. And that is the part that absolutely can tear you to bits. I mean, it's heavy work. And there's a lot of it. And you need to bring a lot of it. So by bringing it in once a week and out once a week, that gives me the time and the energies to do all of the other things. So when I had 17 students here, I wasn't as tired in a week as I would be dragging the stuff back and forth for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Can move in. So
You're moving in, so to speak, and you're settling in. And you feel as though, well, this is all that's available to me because I cannot get home to get other things. I have to pre-plan this. But everyone's satisfied, which is more important than whether I feel as though I've brought everything or not. Everyone seems to be satisfied with what they've learned and how they're applying it. And the little bits and pieces that I've taught that makes it easier for them to avail themselves and utilize the materials they might have on hand. In other words, if you're an older person and you can remember having woolen skirts during the early 60s or the 50s, and maybe they're in the attic, they can be utilized. It isn't necessary that you go out and buy new wool to make a rug. That isn't at all necessary. And the durability of these things, they last hundreds of years. The worth of them, they're priceless, although they put a price on them of $100 a square foot once they're finished. And you don't pay anything near that. I mean, you can finish a rug that's... Well, I think the largest one we had in this class this week was $31 for all of the materials. And that's not much. And it was a pretty good sized piece. I think it was about 28 by 30. It was a wall hanging.
Could I ask the name of the woman you learned? You said
Pearl McGowan.
The original person.
Pearl McGowan. My name is Mary Jane McGowan.
Yeah. Hers the original was, person you told me about that you went to her over to her house.
Oh, Edna Bayless.
Edna Bayless? Did she live at St. Albans?
No, she's dead. She moved to Florida and she died.
Where was she living when you...
In St. Albans. Mm-hmm.
And who was the second woman? She had a friend who helped
Edna... I was trying to remember Edna's last name.
She was a local person, too.
Yeah, they were local. And they just taught maybe 3 or 4 months.
Did you hear them talk about where they had gotten this?
They had read about it in a magazine, one of those little magazines that women used to read.
Mm-hmm.
Like Household Searchlight or something like that. You know, one of those real cheap little magazines. Edna's husband was a principal of a school, and Edna's husband was a doctor. And my husband was affiliated with an oil company. We were all different. You know, you meet people on different grounds. For an example, the things that with which we met originally were affiliated with children. So it was children's programming. And we were getting together for that.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
And then the classes that you held, were those in your home? Or?
Yes, until I had 21 students. And my classes outgrew my home.
Too successful for your own good.
Oh, it was great. It was lots and lots of fun. And I enjoyed every minute of it. And some of those friends that I've had over the years, I maintained the friendship. And... they come to visit, and we talk often. As a matter of fact, one of my best friends I met through rug hooking as my student. Just a lovely, lovely lady, and she's a very good friend of mine. Has been for many years.
Isn't that nice?
Yes. We have a wonderful time together. I have a lot of friends.
So that it sounds as though rug hooking is more than just a hobby with you to idle away the hours, or?
Oh, I don't idle away the hours. The only reason I teach it is because of the worth of it. That's the only reason I teach it. I teach it because it has a quality you'll find in no other craft. There's nothing else like it. Therapeutically, it's marvelous. You work with the wool, and by rubbing it together, there's a form of electricity that helps arthritic hands. I've used it for therapy with people like that. And also therapeutically, the people get together and they're sitting down. And now women are prone to feel guilty when they sit and do nothing. But when you sit and do something of worth, you're giving yourself a little boost. You truly are. And they can sit in a group and they can work and talk. They don't need to count. They don't need to remember. They can set it down and 5 years later come back and pick it up. They've never lost their place. And it's so simple, anyone can learn to do it in 3 minutes. I've taught the physically handicapped, the mentally retarded I've worked with for years. I've taught a couple of blind people. And I have thousands of students under my belt. And I feel as though I have done a great service to these people because I taught them one thing, how to sit down and relax and enjoy something and accomplish something. And that's a bunch. That's a whole lot to teach a person.
Yes, indeed.
That doesn't include the art or the color sense that they learn.
Tell me about that part of it.
Well, the artistic value of a hooked rug is the fact that you try to convey a third dimension to a flower or a leaf. Or
shading. Shadowing.
You have highlights and shadows, yes. I teach them where to place them. I teach them not to be afraid of color.
Are people afraid?
Oh, certainly. People are very conservative. They're very conservative. They're afraid that if they go too wild, you know. But express yourself, feel good. Don't be afraid of those colors. They don't always have to be a monotone. They can be like a song and have plenty of variation.
You say that this is very easy to do. Because the hooking part of it is easy, does that free you then to pull together these colors? And?
Oh, yes. I teach them color sense. I teach them highlights and shadows.
Do you look at things in nature when you do that, or?
No, at my age, I don't need to go out and look. I can recall. Uh-huh. Not only that, I exploit a little. I mean, so what if it's a blue rose? If that's what they want, that's fine. Or a green seashell, I don't care. And they certainly shouldn't, if it goes with what they have and they're going to put it where they want it. You just have to feel freedom. Goodness sakes, there are enough boundaries in this world.
You think so?
Oh, sure. And we place them on ourselves. We're afraid to be honest. Scared stiff of what other person might think about you. They might even be amazed and give you a compliment if they knew the truth. Who's to say?
What is it about our society that discourages people so much?
Their inhibitions.
Just things they were raised with?
No. You can't blame the attitude of a person that's 35 years old on what their mother said. Because if they haven't broken the apron string by then, well, they need a lot of prayer. A whole lot of prayer. If you can't be an individual, and you have to blame something on someone else all of the time, and you think you're faultless, you're nuts. You really are. Crazier than a loon. Because none of us are without fault.
So this artistic expression, do you think it helps people develop a sense of individualism?
I think that it gives them a satisfaction or a degree of accomplishment. Now, what this has to do with their character, I don't know. I'm not in here to form character. I don't think I could handle
that. You just do it as a byproduct.
I have enough fun with my own character. I have a wild sense of humor. I really do.
Where were you raised?
In the United States. My dad was a traveling construction engineer. I went to 17 different schools throughout the United States. And, yeah.
From
hither to thither. From the Hotel Morrison in Chicago to the Boardwalk in Atlantic City to a little hollow up Cabin Creek in West Virginia where they had three floors of rooms and one toilet.
At least they had one.
Yeah, I've never lived in a place where they didn't have electricity and plumbing. Never have.
Don Stover came into his class yesterday a few minutes late and sat down. He was perspiring and he took a deep breath and he said, well, I was just talking to my oldest son at home and they had some trouble there and everybody fell real silent, you know. Said they had a fire in the bathroom, but he said they got it put out all right before it spread to the house.
Before it went to the house, okay.
And it brought down the house.
Yeah, West Virginia collapsed. Moon. Right. Are you a West Virginian?
I wasn't born here. I'm a born again West Virginian.
You're born again West Virginian?
Yeah.
You're a free soul?
Born again.
Tell me
about Cabin Creek. What was that like?
What was that like?
You were how old then?
I think the first time I came here, I was 11. Second time I came, I was 15. But I didn't come to Cabin Creek the second time. The first time, I came from Atlantic City, New Jersey, to Cabin Creek, West Virginia. And the road from Charleston to Cabin Creek was on the side of a mountain, and it was all dirt. And every time we got in the little red and black Chevy that my dad had bought in order to meet us at the station, and we'd take that little lousy road from Charleston to Cabin Creek, was, I guess it was about 27 miles. And it took you forever to do it. And on a wet day, you had to get out and push because you'd get stuck in the ruts. My mother cried the whole way, scared to death of heights. Just petrified. I'm exhilarated by height. As a matter of fact, the first day we went to see a lady that her husband worked with my dad in Cabin Creek, we went to East Bank, and she lived on a hillside. And I went out their back door and ran up to the top of the mountain. I couldn't get up there fast enough. And I was almost winded and exhausted. I can remember I felt faint. But I managed to find my way back down. But I had to reach the top. Hmm. I absolutely had to. I was going to explode if I didn't. And I was just a kid. I've always been adventuresome.
So your dad was...
construction engineer for American Electric, putting power plants throughout the United States.
How long did he keep you on Cabin Creek?
Oh, that first time we didn't stay very long. My mother felt as though she had claustrophobia with the mountains. My parents were from Sweden. but and that's mountainous, but they must not have had much there where she lived, or she was just little when she came here. But she felt claustrophobia with the mountains.
So what did she do?
Cried a lot when we got out of here. She just wasn't happy.
Went somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we went from here to Indiana, and then, well, we've been many, many places. I was born in Milwaukee. I've been a lot of places.
But you're pretty settled now in St. Albans, aren't
you? I was settled all my life. Any place that they said that we were supposed to stay and sleep and eat, that was home. And I was comfortable. Going off and leaving the house. It'll be there when I get there. And my husband's 75 years old, but he can handle the stove and the refrigerator and the washer in case he needs it. And my daughter's child being in the hospital, that was the best place for the kid. There was nothing I could do about that. I can't handle an infant's illness right now. I don't know what to do with it. It's been too many years gone by.
Do you know how to let go of things that you can't have any control over? Or
that's what I just got through telling
you.
I left the child in the hospital and I came here to teach.
It's hard stuff to do.
Well, what could I do there?
Well, you couldn't do anything. But that won't stop most people from standing around wringing their hands.
Well, what in the name of sense would I do wringing my hands?
I don't know. I can't see any purpose to it. But you know, a lot of people do it, don't they?
Oh, a lot of people dwell on nothing but the morbid. Really. And a lot of people like to find fault and criticize everything around them. But that's all right. That's their problem. Not mine.
Where else have you... Have you taught outside the state?
Yeah, I taught in Kentucky.
I
taught in Ashland. It's part of the University of Kentucky. Taught rug hooking.
In a setup like this?
Something similar, only it was done on a different scale.
Was it
day and night for 3 days.
Oh.
I'm invited lots of places to teach. But I'm not interested in going lots of places. I like to go someplace where I can go back home if I feel like it. I travel alone a lot. I used to go lots of great distances. I know one time I went to New Orleans by myself, and I've gone to Memphis in one day by myself.
To teach?
No, just because I wanted to. No, everywhere I go, I don't go to teach. I go to see what's there. I like to go and see what's there. I don't do much in the line of activity, but I can sure see. And I enjoy it. I like people. I like things. I like doing. I'm interested in history.
The history of hooking? Of rug hooking?
No, history.
Yeah, but I mean...
No, I'm a music major.
Oh.
But I want to know why Lafitte the Pirate had to be killed after he did so much for the United States. Stuff like this. I mean history. I had a lot of American history to learn. My parents didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of it to learn.
Well, sure, there's a
right
lot
here
of it
in
to
West
learn.
Virginia, think of.
Well, yes, people stand around
right
and talk,
here.
Stand around and act as though it's so quaint to listen to a person say, "Well, that's right, Peart." Or they ain't got no smart, or down the road a piece. That's just as much Elizabethan English as you're ever going to hear. It might not sound correct today, but it sure as heck was at one particular time.
People put it down now,
I don't know that they necessarily, I said found a quaint. I didn't say they put it down. I don't know what they do with it. That's, I've seen different attitudes and different expressions on people's faces. But of course they have expressions on their faces for a lot of things. It's all right. That's their face. They can handle it. That's all right with me. But I do all right. I have a lot of interests. I like to play golf. I'm vice president of Kanawha Valley Duplicate Bridge Association. I like to sing. I have a dog. I get along with my neighbors. I don't know all of their names, but I get along with them. I say hi. And my husband and I are congenial. I've been married 50 years. As people say, oh, you deserve some credit for that. Well, we both deserve credit. He's not been anything you'd write a book about as far as being a husband's concerned all the time. And it's a cinch. I've not made the perfect wife or mother or daughter or nothing.
Did you ever meet anybody who was?
Yeah, I've met a lot of people who thought they were. I didn't have any medals for them, but I've met them. Oh, gracious. People are pretty nice as a whole. They really are.
Yeah, they are.
The biggest flaw I find in being a person is the fact that so many people are so busy looking at what the other guy does. If they spend more time looking at what they were doing, they wouldn't have so much time.
That's true.
If you want to go out and help somebody, that's one thing. But if you want to go out and pick society apart, forget it. I'll never be the best bridge player. I'll never be a good golfer.
What kind of singing do you do, though?
Loud. At one time I had a pretty good range, but I'm old.
I like to
your voice. Your voice goes.
I like to hear old people sing. I really do.
You do?
Yeah.
Their voice cracks. And they sit around and sort of listen to hear whether or not they're in the right pitch. I do.
None of those things matter to me. I just like to hear them sing.
You just like to hear them sing. Oh, I can remember my parents teaching me songs when I was little.
Swedish songs?
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the first ones I remember was, Yo Horienta, who hit the Sora, Oompa, Oompa, tra la 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 la, Oritza, Ritza, the Flastai button, Oompa, Oompa, tra la 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 la. There once was a girl, and her name was Sarah. Oompa, oompa, tra-la-la-la-la-la-la. Her hair was so red that it sizzled in water. Oompa, oompa, tra-la-la-la-la. Yeah,
nice.
I remember a lot of things from when I was a little kid. I have good memories of my parents and my brothers and my sister and...
What were your parents' names?
Paulson. Mr. and Mrs. I've got to go. I'm invited to dinner. What time is it?
4:30.
Oh, well, I've got a half hour. I'm doing so good. I didn't know I had time to spare. I seldom do that. But I can remember a lot about a lot of things. My mother's grandmother lived with us until I was 8. She broke her leg playing tag with me. I don't like that idea, but the fact she was that active at that age, headed toward 90 and out running around the yard like a free spirit. Oh, gracious.
Did she teach you some of the songs?
I don't know. I can't remember ever hearing her sing. My mother sang a lot, and my dad sang a lot. My dad played the violin. He was the one that initially taught me the violin. My mother played the piano, and she initially taught me the piano.
Were they educated musicians?
Yes.
Or did he know any Swedish folk fiddling? Or?
Oh, no, no folk fiddling.
It was high.
We had records of Galli Curzi and things like that. Opera and light opera. That's what I heard as a child. I remember on my fourth birthday, the request I had for my gift was the Parade of the Wooden Soldiers. That was the record I wanted. That was what I wanted as a gift. On my fifth birthday, they took me to a restaurant in one of the dining, dancing areas in one of the ballrooms in Chicago for my fifth birthday. And I danced with my dad, and the orchestra leader played Happy Birthday, you know. They did that nice. That was the first time I ever saw a woman smoke a cigarette. And my mother said the look on my face was enough to curdle milk. But I stared at the woman and said, ish. And she put it out.
Probably wouldn't today.
Oh, no. No, she'd probably roll her own and get bug-eyed. But that's their problem, too. I don't smoke. I did. Smoked like a steam engine. Quit cold. It wasn't easy, but it was better.
How many years did you smoke?
Well, it's a terrible thing to say, but a specialist told my mother that Q-bibs would stop catarrh. That's before you had post-nasal drip. It was once called catarrh. So she bought these Q-bibs and would light them up for me at night so I could clear my nostrils in order that I'd sleep better. But it was a smoke. And then when I was about 15 years old, they said that the mentholated cigarette would be good for me. That would help. I was 11 when I smoked the Q-bibs, and I started smoking mentholated cigarette when I was 15. And I quit in 1970, so let's see, that makes 15 years ago, I was 52. So I've smoked most of my life. But I quit.
Feels a lot better, doesn't it?
Yeah, food tastes better. I think you can smell better.
I smoked a lot of years. I'm sure glad to be shed of it.
Yeah, I'm just sorry I didn't quit sooner. My husband had quit about 16 or, yeah, I think it was 16 years before I did.
Did you teach some of these Swedish songs to kids when you were raising them?
They've heard them, but they weren't interested. As a matter of fact, I tried to teach them to speak Swedish, but they weren't interested. Because I was still speaking Swedish with my parents when my oldest child was born. But they weren't interested. Kids don't want to be different. They want to be part of the crew. Most of them. It's bad enough having a different mother than without having to be different yourself.
Did they think you were different from other mothers?
I never let them think I was different than other mothers, no.
No, I said, did they think, because I remember thinking my mother was weird when I was a kid.
You thought your mother was weird?
Yeah, because she didn't dress like other women, and she didn't...
I dressed like everybody else. I was slim when I was younger.
My mother was a very special person, but I thought she was...
A little odd.
Odd. I don't know if she really was or not, but I thought she was.
Well, my kids were very close. My son was paralyzed when he was 8. And I had to be his teacher, his mentor, his nurse, whatever, for years, about 3.5 years. before he was operated on and learned to walk well enough to get around into the school system again. Experiences like this tend to make you a little more close, truly. And I was always at home. I never worked until the kids were up and the age where I thought I was helping to put them through college. Because we always had someone that was older that needed to be taken care of in our family. And my husband and I both very concerned about our families. My mother was an invalid for 11 years. I took care of her.
Kept her in your home?
Uh-huh. And my grandmother, I kept her for 7.5 years just within a matter of months after my mother died. She came. And then, of course, I had my son to take care of. And I was 21 years a Sunday school teacher, and I was many, many years a Girl Scout leader and Boy Scout leader, Cub Scout rather. I've done a lot of things, and most of my time of my life that I've spent working away from the home was doing something for the benefit of someone else. I mean, I didn't get paid for it. But it was things that I thought needed attention or somewhere where I could be of service. I've done a lot along those lines. And since my kids have grown, I've gone back into it. I work a lot with, right at this particular time, I'm giving a morning a week to the daycare center in Charleston, and I'm also working 2 hours a week with a schizophrenic that gets along very well with me, but she's extremely moody. She's 49 years old, and she does need a friend, and I seem to serve that purpose.
That's great.
Uh-huh. You know, there are so many people in this world that are so lonely, and it isn't necessary, because there are so many people in this world.
Nobody should have to be lonely.
No, that's true. And if you can alleviate that feeling, even if it's for a very short time, you've done someone a service. And it hasn't hurt you a thing, a bit. Doesn't cost you a thing. Just get there.
So what are you, kinds of things do you do with this schizophrenic person?
Primarily we talk.
You talk?
Mm-hmm.
You don't hook drugs?
No. No, I don't hook drugs with her.
So you have a therapeutic, a counseling, a friendship kind of?
Oh, we sit down and she's done certain things, and if she feels like she wants to do something in the line of a handcraft and I'm qualified, I'll work with it. But even if she's talking about doing something, she doesn't do it. She'd rather sit there and talk. And I listen. And what she tells me is personal, and it just stays right there, and it's nobody else's business. If she wanted other people to know, she'd tell them. And it wouldn't be fair to...
But she just sort of pours out.
She unloads. Right. And she has psychotherapists that work with her. And what she's doing with me is just extra. And she needs it. She needs it badly.
How did they find you? I mean, are you trained to do this sort of thing in some way? Or?
No, I'm not trained to do much of anything. I just fall into it.
But,
it's like the time that my dad and I were in a river swimming, and I was 13 years old, and it was a Sunday afternoon, and we noticed these three girls in an inner tube, and things started to fall away. I'm an expert swimmer, so was my dad, and we saved their lives. Had we not been there, they would have drowned. it's that type of thing. I don't know why I'm guided or how I'm guided, but I happen to fall someplace where I'm useful.
I think people are like that.
I think some of us are like that. I don't think everyone's like that.
No.
I don't see that many people running loose giving their giving of themselves. I actually don't. And I've been many places at many times. I've created a situation where a lonely woman met a lonely woman and established a friendship. And I was the third party. But I had to know where to back out. I had to stay there long enough to see that it would last, or that it shouldn't be. But I've seen people who are who have a lot in common that would have never known one another and make it possible that they meet one another. Now that's unusual.
Yep.
In church work, I've sat in the homes of kids that I've had in Sunday school class and sit and talk with their family so they'd know what kind of a Sunday school teacher I was, or what kind of a person I was, so they wouldn't say, well, kids going down there and not learning anything, or they're just sending them off to be babysitters. I wasn't a babysitter. I had a purpose. And I've made friends in those sections.
Have you taken on other crafts as well?
Oh, I'm very... My expertise is broad.
Tell me about some of the other areas.
I'm very well qualified in stitchery. Extremely well qualified in stitchery. And in crafts where I've worked with people from the halfway house making things that were easily made and rapidly made but useful. Just lots of different things. Some of them deal with wood, some with paper, some with... I've used a saw, I've used a lathe. See, I was the oldest four kids, and two under me were boys. My mother was an only child, never had any sisters. My dad had no sisters. So they really didn't know what to do with a little girl. None of them. And anything that you wanted to latch on to, well, that was all right. You could do that.
So they didn't tell you the girls weren't supposed to fool with tools? Or?
No. As a matter of fact, at one time in our life, to make my mother happy, the second time we came back to West Virginia, my dad built a greenhouse for my mother to keep her mind occupied, I guess, because she likes flowers. And he bought an acreage, and part of it was a hill, and there was a vein of coal in it. And my brother and I would take a mattock and go get coal and put it in a gunny sack and put it in the boiler, and keep the water hot for the greenhouse. Yeah, a lot of experiences. I can remember one time I asked my dad, I told him that a Mr. Sokol, who was a writer for one of the New York papers, wanted me to be a polar bear. That's where you go in swimming every day in the winter. And I did in Atlantic City. Dad said that as far as he knew, I was one of the youngest polar bears. I went swimming every day with Mr. Sokol.
In Atlantic City?
Yeah, in Atlantic City, yeah, I was a kid.
Just didn't matter about the weather?
No, you went out, broke the ice, running into the ocean, come back out, yeah. It's all right, different.
How old were you then?
8.
Okay. I bet that's very good for you.
Didn't hurt me. But before my dad, and this is funny, we moved into Atlantic City in April, and we were living right there on the boardwalk. And Dad said, well, Janie, honey, before you can go out in the ocean, you've got to learn how to swim. Well, just a couple of blocks down from where we were was the Y. So every day I had to trudge down to the Y to learn how to swim, and he came down and he saw I could get from one side of the pool to the other, so that way I was eligible to take my little brothers to the ocean. Little did he know about the undertow or anything, you know. Gracious. I'd take those two kids to the beach because mother was stuck in the hotel with a 6-week-old baby. But the trip from Atlanta, from Chicago to Atlantic City, I learned how to sing Show Me the Way to Go Home on the train. Yeah. Well, I have many memories. Many, many.
Sing me another Swedish song.
Oh, let's see. Akabaka kaka, sore era flyta, sore flyta, sore come, so come a day, so come a man. Yes.
Is Linda here? Linda Lee?
No, Linda Lee has... Everybody deserted me. I don't know where they went.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there more?
Start
again.
That's all. That's all there is to
that. Is that a dancing?
No.
Parties?
No, that means that this woman baked a cake, and the cake was good, and along came a man, and he fell in love with the fact that she could bake a cake. I don't know who taught me that. I think that was my mother's uncle's wife. Sounds like it. I think it's Norwegian.
There's some beautiful Swedish Christmas customs, aren't there?
Yeah, there's some that are rather flamboyant. For an example, being of European heritage, one of the things people find it hard to believe is that we drank wine with our cookies or with our fruitcake. It was always watered down, but nonetheless, it was still wine. And when you talk about the fact that you give your kids wine when they're 4 and 5 years old, people frown on that. It was a different childhood. Real different.
Doesn't look like the wine hurt you any either.
No, I'm not for excessive drinking. Not at all. But I don't see where in the world everybody gets their bells and uproar over somebody having a drink. Not if they can handle it. And that's all up to the person, too.
That's right. That's right.
You stop and consider, when my dad was born, the doctor that took care of my grandmother, or the midwife, or whoever it was, had her to drink, I don't know whether it came by the mug, the bottle, or I knew it wasn't in the can, beer. Every day, every night.
It's good for nursing mothers.
That's exactly what they said. So my dad slept like a top. My grandmother was happy. Oh, gracious.
I'm keeping you here. You need to...
Do what? Are you going back to the office?
I am.
Would you like to take this?
Sure.
Yeah. Pearl and I would get together, and they had us on tape. She called me a hooker, and I called her an undercover agent. Oh, gracious. We had a lot of fun together, Pearl and I. We shared the same room. Gracious sakes.
She's a good person.
She was a very good person. I didn't know she died.
It's a terrible fault.
Well, not if you're sick. He wants to live and be ailing.
Oh, yeah.
But Pearl and I had a lot of fun together, and she had a lot of wit and humor. After I'd get through teaching my students what to do, I'd stay the evening with her and learn how to make some of the quilt patterns she had. It was fun. She's so warm.
Yeah.
Olive's so warm.
Oh,
see, these people I've known for a long time.
Through
Augusta. Well, that's not the half of it. Sometimes people come back here to see me. For an example, Susan Rick, that's in Costa's class, set up her schedule to meet with mine so she could see me this week. Now that's nice.
Yeah.
She's a good student. Well, she's a nice person.
Yeah.
And so is her husband, a very nice person. And Sharon Bartos and Phil, I've known them for years. I miss Cook, Bill Cook.
Yeah,
I miss him. You know, there are a lot of people I see ordinarily that I don't see this particular time, but it doesn't lessen the fact that I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I'm just glad that I had the opportunity to meet these people at the particular time I did.
How do you think we could make this program stronger? That's what interests me.
Stronger?
Strengthening what we have here.
Well, I told Margo last night that I felt as though I was lacking in communication this year, totally lacking at the onset. The materials I should have known about Monday, I was listening to as late as yesterday afternoon about what I should do with certain students. You shouldn't be in limbo, not as an instructor.
Mm-hmm.
You should have these bits of information available.
So what should she have done?
I don't know what she should have done, because I don't know how much of this she knew at the onset. I'm not judging.
You mean with the European students?
And the Elder Hostel.
Yeah.